Blog Talk Radio.
Dougie, you told me you've been on some positive shit, yeah, yeah. Lately, I just wanna show up and body some shit, yeah, yeah. Always been a little mad petition. Lately, this cash I'm getting got me losing count of these bags. I've been moving too fast. Hard times don't last. Remember when cops are rats talking out my ass. Boy, you ain't shit but a bitch with a badge.
All my life. They be trying to keep me down. All this time. Thought I'd make it out.
They couldn't break me, they couldn't break me.
No, no.
They couldn't take me, they couldn't take me.
No.
All my life.
All my life.
To keep me down, I decided I had to finish, but the media called me a menace. I just sat with the mayor and politicians. I'm trying to change the image. You can't blame my past no more. I come from the trenches. Some said I'd never be a superstar, but I know I'm different. I'm the voice, but the system ain't give me a choice. Know some people that still undeployed. I know a felon who trying to get void.
Child support, your only support.
For a visit, I'm going through courts.
Went to jail, they was chaining me up.
And you know that I'm famous as fuck. See how you gon' joke about stimulus, but they really had came in the clutch.
I know some kids wanna hurt theirselves. Stop trying to take drugs, I refer to myself. Trying to better myself, trying to better my health, but
all my life,
all my life.
They trying to keep me down.
They be trying to keep me down.
All this time,
all this time.
Never thought I'd make it out. No, no.
They couldn't take me, they couldn't take me.
No.
All my life.
All my life.
They be trying to keep me down.
They be trying to keep me down.
First generation ghetto nigga. Cold world, hello niggas. Made it out of the city with my head on straight. Niggas keep shooting up the let out. Yo, enjoy the pill, gotta get out. Cause the shit that I spit out is a cheat code. Like I'm facing a Rico, and how a nigga put a hit out. And another one, and another one. I got like 100 of them by the lap, nigga. So they think they ahead of me, but I'm really in front of them now. Some of them fumbling they bags, fucking up the little crumbs that they had. A reminder to humble yourself, this shit could be gone in an instant. Me, I'm running long distance, all pistons firing. I've been stuck between maybe retiring and feeling like I'm just not hitting my prime. These days, seeing rappers be dying way before they even getting they shine. I never even heard a little buddy till somebody murdered a little buddy. Now I'm on the phone searching little buddy name. Got a play in his tunes all day in my room. Thinking damn, this shit wicked to get their names buzzed. Some niggas just gotta go lay in a tomb. And media thirsty for clicks. I got a new rule, if you ain't ever posted a rapper when he was alive, you can't post about him after he get hit. It's simple, it's the principle. On any tempo, I'm invincible. Don't even rap, I just vent to you. I'd rather that than an interview most days. Fuck them all like I'm going through a whole phase. Young niggas shoot out the whip like road rage. I pray all of my dogs stay so paid. And the only thing to kill them is old age.
All my life,
they be trying to keep me down.
They be trying to keep me down.
All this time,
all this time.
Never thought I'd make it out.
They couldn't break me, they couldn't break me.
No, no.
They couldn't break me, they couldn't
break
me. No.
All my life,
all my life.
They be trying to keep me down.
It's good with y'all. I hope everybody's doing great out there. Before I go to the call line, let me my bad, y'all. Okay. All right, so we got an upcoming webinar a class. No, we'll just call it a webinar. It's supposed to be an introductory webinar. It's really supposed to be helping those that need some assistance setting up their trust or coordinating their trust or whatever that's going to require, whatever that's going to look like, to help you get the understanding that you need in order for you to set it up properly and get it recorded. Oof. I'm struggling. So I had received requests for a review, if you will, of the Weiss Trustee Handbook. And in the midst of, I guess you can say, preparing to review that document, because I couldn't find my original printout. I know it's in a binder somewhere. I guess I didn't look hard enough for it. But I guess I was going to take an approach of rereading this thing, you know, as if it was the first time I was reading it. But it kind of stumped me. I'm going to tell you why. Because I go to it, and I got several different versions. This version is a 2006 version. I think I got a 2004 version and a 2008 version. And I don't know why it stumped me. Maybe just because I just haven't looked at it in a while. But Weiss's Concise Trustee Handbook. That's the title of it, right? But what is it saying? It's a trustee's handbook. And then it tells you exactly what it is. A guide to the administration of an express trust under the common law. Functioning under the general law merchant, right? But it's a guide to administration of the trust, y'all. And seeing that we're going to be doing a doctorate course, this would almost seem advanced because this is going into administration. We're talking about setup and recording. This is talking about administration. So I am going to touch on some of these things as it relates to establishing that trust, right? But before I get into all of that, I was, you could say, perusing my own computer to get an idea of what it is that this whole book or handbook is really trying to communicate. Because here's the thing. Everyone and their mother cites this book. And I hate to be a proponent of that where, you know, we're running two of the same resource. This is not the Bible on trust. This is not the Bible of express trust. It's just someone who sat down, excuse me, and compiled information together as it relates to the trust. So this is what I wanted to do. There are some additional resources that I found before I get into the trust, or at least into the Weiss book, I should say, not even trust, that expands a little bit about what the author was trying to do. So let me go with this one first, and I believe, no, actually, make it hard for me now. I have everything up. I hope I didn't close it up by accident. This always happens. One second, y'all. we'll save all of that for the actual class. That right now. What in the world? A few more seconds, y'all. I apologize. The show book, I ain't seemingly there unless I missed it. Yeah. From the back end. Oh, I did something. I wanted to read something to you all because trust is very important. And if you all would just take the time to fully comprehend what it is that you can maximize a trust for, it would change a lot of you all's perspective on setting up a trust and why you need to set up a trust. All right. So they said the trustee handbook from pages 12 through 79 is trustee basics, all right? So it says, first and foremost, anyone, meaning man or person, I don't know why they put man or person, but man or woman, capable of taking physical possession of or legal title to property can be a trustee, because that's what the whole handbook is about. It's about you administering a trust as a trustee. So here, which is... I don't know if you want to call this a pamphlet to this Weiss book or an addendum, all right? So it says, and there is no limit to the number of trustees who may serve in any one trust. So pay attention. Generally, where there is more than one trustee, the trustees with respect to each other are referred to as co-trustees. Remember that. And when acting jointly, as a collective body are referred to as the Board of Trustees. Because this is what the book is teaching you about, administration, all right? It's not teaching you how to set up a trust. It's not teaching you how to go ahead and record the trust, not necessarily. I'm not sure if it goes into full details on every aspect, but it gives you some brief information, all right? Furthermore, there is no law prescribing the character of a trustee, and while it has been held that a trust cannot be invalidated simply due to the incompetence, listen, the trustee should be at least someone capable and fit for executing the powers and duties honorably, because that's what it requires, honorably, right? This is the basis for the general rule that beneficiaries are not desirable as trustees. So they're not desirable as trustees, though there is no law to forbid such appointment. So you can't stop it either. Equity will generally avoid all temptation to breach a trust, right? All temptation, right? That's what equity does, right? The trustee should be stationed within the jurisdiction of the court of equity in which the estate is located, if indeed the trust corpus is an estate. Pay attention. But where the trust corpus is portable land, the trustee need not be stationary within any single jurisdiction. So if you're not dealing with real estate, or as they like to say, real property, and you're dealing with personal property, then they're saying that you don't need to be, meaning the trustee doesn't need to be located in that single jurisdiction. All right. Non-residency will not non-residency, pay attention, will not disqualify or preclude the trustee from carrying out his position. And this is what we're talking about as it relates to the trust, all right? I know I was supposed to get on TikTok. I don't know if I want to deal with multiple platforms at the same time. I'll build up to that or go on after this or something. Give me a minute. I'll figure that out. Back down. All right. So it doesn't stop you if you don't live here from being a trustee. As far as accepting the appointment is concerned, this should be done formally, expressly in writing. So this is what they tell you. A lot of this is not practiced, by the way, but they're telling you how the trustee should function. This is administration, right? As far as accepting the appointment, so now there's an acceptance of appointment, it should be done formally. So you have an acceptance of appointment that is done in writing. Even though it would always be implied if the individual intermeddles with the trust property or performs any act to carry out the trust. Once acceptance has been tendered, no court of common law or equity can prevent the trustee from holding the office except for breach of trust for good cause dependent upon clear and lawful necessity. All right? So it's very hard to remove that person. And you know what's funny? You know, if you, and I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to just do it just so y'all know I'm just not reading at y'all. I'm actually processing this stuff with y'all. And y'all should be processing this stuff too. But the reality is, can you imagine if you have someone who is so-called in a position, you know, I should say that for the class maybe. So I say it because I already started. Can you imagine if you have someone who is not physically available, let me put it politely, to serve as a trustee, but once appointed, they can't tell them they can't serve as trustee. That's as plain as I can say it. Just figure it out. All right. In any instance, says removal must be procured pursuant to the provisions of the trust, or where no such provisions are made by decree of a court of equity. So that's the only way you can remove someone who's appointed and accepted that position. Just pay attention. That is literally like ironclad. All right. There's no change in that. Lastly, it should be noted that the office of trustee is not always a desirable one. Not everybody is built to be a trustee. When the trust instrument conveys a burdensome obligation, the trustee is desirable and at risk of breach by failure to perform. When the trust instrument has been construed, constructed poorly, the trustee is miserably confined and inhibited, and he may well be held liable for trust contracts with outside parties. Now, I know I just butchered that, but they're just telling you, if you do a piss-poor job of drafting, that is, your trust agreement, right, you can leave the parties who are supposed to serve in the trust capacity vulnerable, right? Vulnerable to stress, vulnerable to, third-party contracts, it seems like, and whatever else that may come along with, you know, those type of risque behaviors, right? So you're talking about breach. All right. The trustee has a duty of care. Listen, this is what they have, a duty of care towards the beneficiary, and must harbor no biases or resentment in administration. Again, they're telling you, if you find out you're the trustee and somebody is a beneficiary that you didn't like personally, guess what? All that's out the door, right? None of that matters once you've accepted that position. Now you have to treat that person as almost if you love them, you know, to the extent of you would obviously, you know, go above and beyond to make sure that they're okay. All right. I'm skipping my place. I think this is where I was. Okay. So, therefore, it is prudent to empower the trustee with enough discretion to carry out his position to the best of his ability and responsibly creativity. That doesn't make sense. To put it plainly, the settler must trust the trustee to carry out his duties and use his powers justly. He must trust him. And this is what the handbook is going to talk about. All right. Powers and duties of the trustees. The powers of the trustees are divided into three categories: general, special, and discretionary. So these are the categories that they tend to maximize in trust agreements. The general rule are all those inherent in trustees. I don't know how to say that. I guess that's Latin. It says ordinarily conferred by trust law. So I told y'all before, and if you haven't heard it, I'll say it again, that they have their own rules and regulations that they apply to trustees. So if your document does not specify these things, here's one of the categories, which is general, that they say might apply to you. So it's conferred by trust law. So whatever their code statutes or whatever documents that they're maximizing as law. The special are those conferred by the trust instrument. So special, right, in the actual document. And the discretionary are all those arising out of the necessity of personal judgment. So remember, I told you all, law is an interpretation of words. So now the trustee has to interpret, again, you know, they're administering the document or the contract, so they have to interpret at time whether or not, if it's not 100% clear, if they have the ability or discretion to, you know, involve themselves in certain things. And sometimes they will, based on how they interpret the information. So, all right, it is well settled. Oh, they said broad discretion may also be conferred by the instrument. All right, it is well settled law that under a declaration of trust, the trustees must have all powers necessary to carry out the obligation of the private contract which they have assumed. So this is what you all, as the drafting parties, have to be concerned with. Furthermore, it is settled that the trustees of an express trust are afforded greater latitude to carry out their duties than ordinary trustees. So this is of express trust. The trustees are empowered to control every aspect of the trust according to the trust instrument in equity and retain the power to remove even the beneficiary from the premises, even the beneficiary, all right? These powers include but are not in no way limited to the power to bind the trust in a contract. These are just examples. The power to partition, exchange, sell, pledge, so on and so forth. The power to lease, the power to issue, the power to support, the power to prosecute, the power to make gifts, the power to delegate, the power to exercise personal judgment. So those are some of the powers that are included, right, depending on what you're looking at. So whether you include it or it's included by application of law. The other thing I wanted to share, which is throwing me off, give me a second, let me see if I can pull it up. Promise y'all this don't make no damn sense. I just had the thing up. That's always going to be fascinating to me, unless I save it somewhere else that I'm not aware of. But I literally just had that damn thing up. Let me see if I still have it up on the internet. I wanted to talk about that too, but I won't have time. All right, I think this is the page. Yeah. Darn it, boy. It makes this hard for me. All right. Same thing. They said, and this is important. Now, I know I haven't touched the Weiss Trustee Handbook, but like I said, it's about administration, not necessarily where I want to dive into, but I want to share this because all of this stuff is coming supposedly from Weiss. And here's what Weiss has to say about his outlook on what has worked for him and what has not worked for him. And I think this is worth sharing before I get out of here. So I'm thinking, let me do this real quick just to make sure that I'm not leaving. Oh, he just dropped anyway. I was just about to take his question, or take their question. In any instance, that's fine. I got too much going on over here. So it says, trustees in commerce, a way of life, it says, right? And this is something that I guess y'all can look up. It says, a while back I was asked to write a few paragraphs on the specific advantages of living your life as a trustee in everything you do as opposed to as a S-word or an SP, right? I was asked to cover all related bases that included a comparison to show how each choice would hold up in commerce. What I came to realize is that there is only one way of life in this own category, that enhances all others. That's something to be noted. All the others are actually disadvantages in commerce. What I wanted to get into. But seeing that I guess more or less I promised to talk about this. I will hold off on reading that to you, and I'll go back right here. Because all y'all are concerned about is what everybody else is doing, so let's do what everybody else is doing. Now, what is everybody else doing? So this says it's a handbook about the administration of trust created under common law. The materials presented herein has been reduced, right, from various resources, which the reader is encouraged to examine for his own knowledge and further understanding. All in all, the author's objective by this book is to devise a simple guide with clearly outlined methods and sample forms for the effective handling of affairs of expression, while also showing the many options of growth and prosperity and profound protection afforded by an express trust when created and administered properly. Now, it's funny that they're saying when created, and we're not necessarily going to have a lot of information on how to create it, but it's when it's created and administered properly. All right, the book is written in somewhat unconventional manner. Skipping around. If the reader should find after examining, okay, so that's just mistakes. They're saying it's not their fault. So they say creating a trust. First, it must be understood that any trust, regardless of the many designations applied to them, is in its most basic sense a property interest held by one person. And that's what people fail to realize. The trustee, at the request of another, for the benefit of a third party. The classification applied to a trust is based upon the mode of creation in which it may be created, either by expression or implication, or by act of law resulting in constructive, is what it says. Now, again, it doesn't tell you how to create a damn trust. That's not what this handbook is about. Express trust under the common law, and it goes into what they define. Express trust puts the legal estate entirely in one or more persons, while others have a beneficial interest in and out of same, but are neither partners nor agents. Doesn't say how to create it. Now, it says here, declaration of the express trust. Now, it says the declaration of trust is the instrument that constitutes the trust. This is the mode of creation. Now, let's see what they have to say about the mode of creation. And this is what we will spend some time talking about on Sunday. It has been noted in law, or trust law, that no technical expressions, are required to create a valid declaration, right? So long as the words used make clear the settler's intent to create the trust or confer a benefit of some sort that would be best carried out by means of a trust. So that's where the interpretation comes in. So if it's not expressed, right, then it's interpreted. So it's implied. All right. A trust instrument doesn't necessarily need to be a declaration either. Well, okay. So let's pause here for a second, right? So on one hand, a declaration of trust is the instrument that constitutes this trust. On another hand, it doesn't have to be a declaration either. And it says, for a trust may be and often is formed out of a simple agreement or even a will. Pay attention. But with an express trust, the declaration has been preferred since the beginning of trust under the common law. This is where careful attention to detail is most crucial, because in order to properly constitute the intent of the settler, the object's property, and manner in which all is to be carried out, the terms and provisions must be set forth in unambiguous, precise language so as to particularly create the express trust. So you can't be uncertain as to what you're doing. And where the intent of the settlor is unclear under equity, interpretation is required to construe the intent of the parties. Interpretation, I told you. Law is an interpretation of the words. And the trust may, depending on the degree of ambiguity, be deemed invalid. Might be deemed invalid, right? However, when all is done properly, here we go again, obviously there can be no law impairment, no lawful impairment of the obligation of contracts created thereby. Now, I'm going to do something I don't want to do right now, but let me read this section. Let me just read this section on the whole creation, and I'll point out something. Moreover, the declaration by its terms and provisions serves to establish the entire contractual agreement, including the identities and positions of the parties, the trust name, jurisdiction, and situs, and all particulars of administration. All particulars, right? Not some particulars. All of which the Court of Equity will fully support by the principle that equity compels performance. The ultimate result is the creation of a bona fide legal entity having a separate and distinct juridical personality. Standing to sue and be sued and to function as a natural person. Wait a minute. Not only have we been telling you that you are not a natural person, but it's telling you an express trust is a natural person in commerce by and through its trust officers. By and through who? Its trust officers. So the term natural person has been applied to express trust by courts of equity because of its mode of creation and administration being by way of the exercise of natural rights and not franchises, not civil rights. However, the implied right of contract of the trust is alienable, whereas the creator's right of contract is unalienable. Well, I guess I said that wrong. Alienable, it's alienable. But it nevertheless possesses inter ally the right to all enjoyment stemming from the contracts into which it entered, as well as the obligations imposed under such contracts. Needless to say, the express trust possesses the ability to own property, engage in business transactions, and to incur liabilities, including tax liabilities, depending on the activity which renders it it liable to pay the taxes. That's it on the creation of the trust, because this book or handbook is not focused on that point. But when I went down to the footnotes, just under this section, they show you in the Constitution where it says no one can impair the obligation of contracts. And that's basically the only footnote that's here. All right? This is sometimes referred to as trust indenture. They're talking about the document that creates a trust for the purpose of denoting that it outlines in terms. It outlines the terms and conditions governing the conduct of the trustee, referred to in a sense as an indentured trustee, as an indentured servant to the beneficiary under contractual arrangement, all right? But notice, like I said, this doesn't tell you anything about how to create the trust. Nothing whatsoever. So what everyone has done is they've all jumped to maximizing the example that was out there. Before I get wrapped up, y'all can press one. If y'all have questions, I'll go back to taking some questions. If not, I'm gonna just continue. All right. So that's my biggest concern with this handbook. And what happened was someone put together, let me see if I can find it, an example of an express trust. 2007 version. A lot of different versions. Trying to find it. Give me a second. I got a lot of files open. Decoration address. All right, this is what y'all use. Okay, so, yeah, so one example is, and that's not an example because I'm going to mess around and say that person's name by accident. But when I put these things up, it's clearly identical. And the Express Trust can be found on Scribe. It's up there, the same one that, you know, might cost a couple of dollars. It's up there. All right. So, okay, that's better stuff to see. All right. So this is what it says. ABC Trust, Declaration of Irrevocable Trust. And it gives a date all the way back to 2012. That's what the document says, 2012. So it was established December, whatever, 2012. And then it goes into some more information. All right, but simply put, this is why I have concerns. oh boy. And like I said, I'll show this in the class so you all can see for yourself. I'm not making this up. All right, so this indenture was made on blank day of this month, serves as a declaration of trust and shall continue for a term of 25 years. Now, you would have to continue reading the manual to understand the 25 years, but I can explain it to you. The 25 years is just what they came up with as a rule, as a guide for the duration of trust. So what they're saying basically is that most trusts, they have observed, accomplishes their intended purposes, so whatever their administration purpose is, they accomplish that time frame of 25 years. And that's a rule because they don't want trust to last forever. So this rule was instituted to fight off perpetuity. So the fact that you would hide behind a trust for the rest of your life, or everybody for the rest of their life. But there's some caveats to that, but that's where the 25 came from, all right? So, and they say 25 years from this date, because that's how it's being established, herein known as the settlor and party of the first part, and whatever trustee known in, I mean, herein known as the first trustee or trustee part of the second part under the name of ABC Trust, all right? So it says, with this contract, the parties intend to create, and then the language in here is not an express trust language. Now, I'm not going to repeat what it says, but it says blank trust organization. Now, what's ironic is, just got that. Oh, my gosh. Why is that ironic? Because I just passed the one that's being sold, and that's not what it says. But that's been changed to an express trust. It's funny. All right, so I didn't even see that before to be able to point that out. That's funny. For the benefit of the trust certificate unit holders and to identify, accumulate, purchase, and hold any assets that become available and to provide for a prudent administration and distribution system administered by legal persons acting in a fiduciary capacity. This is what somebody wrote, 2012. And they continue, and this document that I'm looking at does not have a... I need to do some research on my computer because it's just funny. It doesn't have the, so I think this is the original damn document. It doesn't have the footnote or side notes and a lot of that stuff that I'm accustomed to seeing on the other copies that I have, which is crazy. And it definitely doesn't have a 98 number on this one. All right. It says, whereas the settlor irrevocably assigns to the trustee and trust specific properties as defined, and they tell you where to find that, and they tell you known hereto as trust certificates Trustees for beneficiaries, also known as members, they call them members of the ABC Trust. This is the original, y'all. Whereas the trust organization is authorized to exist and function through its board of trustees and so on and so forth. I don't even think the other ones have that. I think they took that out. Whereas the trust shall be amendable as described in the bylaws. So can you imagine you created this declaration of trust and you didn't have bylaws? I would hope that you would have adjusted that, right? In any instance. And shall be irrevocable by the settlor or by any other person or entity. It is the intention of the settlor to make the beneficiaries an absolute gift and other. Whereas the trust shall be administered. Now, here's where it gets into the handbook stuff, because this is all from the handbook. This is what everybody drops they hat on, right here. Whereas the trust shall be administered, managed, governed, regulated in all respects according to applicable common law jurisdiction of blank state, as well as the Uniform Trustees Powers Act. That's one that you can look up. Treaty of Peace and Friendship, which one they're talking about, because there's a lot, and Constitution of the United States of America. And, I guess there's another and, the UCC. Only when and if applicable. All right, the domicile of this trust is within whatever, and then they tell you the trustees, in addition to all other powers granted by the indenture and any subsequent document and bylaw, again, bylaw, shall be given the following additional powers with respect to the trust to be executed from time to time at the discretion of the trustee. All right. So they go into management of the trust to invest, blah, blah, blah. That's, they summarized it, right? They said, this is what you're going to do in terms of management of the trust. You can do mortgage. You can do repairs. You can improve. You can sell. You can do all types of stuff. Mortgages and property, they go into more. And they give you litigation and adjustments of claim. They go into more. And then attorney, advisors, agents, and managers. And this is important, I guess. I'll spend a little bit of time on this. Yo, listen, when you get into this business of trying to put your trust and everything together, you're not going to be capable, right, of every single aspect of management if you're the trustee. So you have to know how to partner and create these private agreements with, be it an attorney, an advisor, an accountant, whatever the case may be. And you would probably deem to say, oh, they're public or whatever, right? So they can employ and pay from the trust estate reasonable compensation to such attorneys, accountants, brokers, and investment tax and other advisors as the trust deems advisable. And there you go, all right? So this actually includes trust articles of organization, and I have that. It's a whole sample, which you all weren't provided. Here's the trust bylaws, organizational purpose and intent. So it goes into, I'm not reading all this stuff. It goes into every aspect of it, because this is what truly governs the trust. All right. Then they tell you about what you need to submit. So let me run back before I go back to the call line, just in case y'all have any questions. I did what I was asked to do, which is to go into the trustee handbook. I just don't see the point of reading every single thing that the handbook is talking about, because a lot of you all are not in a position to administer a trust, let alone get it up and running. So give me a second. Somebody's talking to me. I must be hungry. I'm looking for some, did I close it out? I hate this. When I get into this mindset, it's like I want to show y'all everything, and then I keep forgetting that I'm not showing y'all. Yeah, here it is. So this is the version that y'all are accustomed to. Declaration of Express Trust. And says here, established March 2014, note, it includes the EIN, and then it goes into the same thing. This indenture made this blank of March 2014 serves as declaration of expressed stress and shall continue for a term of 25 years. From this day, between blank hearing known as the settler and blank hearing known as the first trustee, under the name of blank trust. All right, so with this contract, the parties intend to create a express trust organized for the benefit of the trust certificate and to identify, accumulate, purchase, organized for the benefit of holders. Purchase and hold any assets that become available and to provide for prudent administration and distribution system administered by legal persons acting in fiduciary capacity. This contract exploit. Witnesses, whereas the settler irrevocably does all this stuff, and then they go in and they say who the settler is, and they give you a trustee, beneficial owner, whatever. All right? Whereas the trust organization is authorized to exist and function through its board of trustees, comprised of the total active number of trustees. Whereas the trust shall be amendable as described in the bylaws, right there, and shall be irrevocable by the settler or any other person, so on and so forth. The intent of the settler to make absolute gift, so on and so forth. The trust shall be administered, managed, governed, and regulated in all respects according to applicable common law jurisdiction of this state, as well as uniform trustee powers, treaty of peace and friendship, again, like I said, Constitution of the United States of America, and the UCC. All right? The domicile of this trust is, and that's it. It's the same thing, right? So at the end of the day, I wanted to take a little bit of time to jump into it. I was hoping to navigate some questions potentially. And I know once I got on here, some of you all had your hands up, but I wasn't sure how I was going to facilitate your questions without getting into some of this information first. So now is the allotted time that is afforded to you all for questions. So if you have them, now is the time. And if I answer them, great. And if you don't have any question, then that's fine too. Just a friendly reminder, we have the webinar on Sunday, 6 p.m. Look forward to having you all there. I'll give it another 30 seconds or so if y'all can generate some questions. Otherwise, I get out of here. You get out your hair. All right. All right, y'all. Peace. It doesn't seem like y'all have any questions, so I'm out of here. I'll catch y'all next week.